Hello everybody, my name is Flash177, this is the first Speedrun Education Podcast episode. This time I was interviewing TGH, former Celeste World Record holder, currently grinding a lot of Link's Awakening for the Nintendo Switch, and has been mainly known in the past for Undertale World Records as well. We talked about different things like mindset, how you stop getting nervous, and how you practice efficiently. If you liked the episode, share it with all of your speedrun friends. I'm hoping they will like it too. And make sure you follow the podcast, because we try to make weekly episodes with all different kinds of top runners. So yeah, enjoy the episode. Hello everybody, my name is Flash177. I have today Teach with me in this episode of Speedrun Education. And Teach is a speedrunner well known for multiple world records he held in the past, or is currently holding, mainly known for Celeste and Undertale in the past, currently grinding a lot of Link's Awakening DX. Introduce yourself, Teach.
Hey, what's up? I'm basically everything that Flesh just said I was. but mainly, like, I'm just a guy who really loves to speedrun. First and foremost, I'm in a position where, you know, I'm able to do it pretty much as I'd like to, and it's, you know, that's where we're at right now. So
yeah, one thing you already said is you said you're able to do the things you like as much as you want. So you're talking about being partnered and now have like full time to invest into speedrunning. How much does this really affect your speedrunning, like, abilities?
That's basically what I was referring to. Like, I don't know, people think I'm a really good speedrunner. They think I'm really good at video games. In reality, I just have way too much time to play them.
Okay.
And just basically, like, I seemingly have more time than others to play and to hone my skills. And that's where the success comes from, I'd like to think. As well as mental stuff as well, but that's... Actually, I have a background that I'll probably get into in a little bit about that I'm not sure many people know. Some people know about it, but life background, which helps me mentally with runs as well.
Okay, so when I was thinking back, like looking at good speedrunners, I was already thinking like, okay, what is their trick? What is their technique? Why they are so good? So you would pretty much say it's mainly... For you, it's mainly because you have so much time, more than others, and you just invest couples of hours into a single segment of a speedrun to practice it, and that's how you get good at it?
That's a really big part of it, I think, is like having the time to be able to, you know, just to like be able to put the time that you want to put into it. Yeah, at least on the physical side. Like, there's a physical side and there's a mental side. And... the mental side, I'll go into sort of that background now, but the mental side, I am actually a former professional golfer.
Oh.
I only did it for a year, but like it still holds true. Like, I played golf all throughout college, all throughout high school, like played, you know, like, and of course I played professionally for a year. Mm-hmm. And like, I played for like actual money. Of course, like, there came multiple points where like I had to make a putt for $1,000 or $2. So like, that's pressure.
Yeah, and, like, of course.
Over time, I had to learn how to deal with that pressure. To sort of like, you know, when I felt it rising, like when I feel pressure rising, or when I feel like, you know, I might start to shake or start to get affected by the pressure a little bit. I would just kind of like look inward and find like a sort of... It's really hard to describe. It's like a sort of zone that I know I can go to, and just like I know that I can perform as well as I know I can in that zone.
Mm-hmm.
At the given time, you know, it's just like, and I feel like with speedrunning, that skill has kind of carried over. Like, if I'm deep into a run on a good pace, I can find it within me. If I can take my eyes off chat for like 2 minutes, I can find it within me to like find that zone again. And it's something that takes a lot of experience to be able to do. And I feel like I got a lot of that experience through golf.
That's crazy. Actually, quite funny. One of my friends I know because I play competitive Smash, or I try to play competitive Smash, he's also very used to these pressure situations because he plays baseball in a league for like very, very long. And yeah, he's also like one of these players who's really, really capable of dealing with pressure. And like for me personally, pressure is like the worst enemy. I get so nervous and then I screw everything up, and it's definitely something I need to overcome better. And yeah, I think,
and it's something that carries over from activity to activity, as far as like, you know, just like what exactly you need to do to get into that zone. It's the same no matter what you do. If you are, you know, if you're in a position where you need to perform a certain way, you're going to do what you can to perform that way. And learning how to get in that place mentally is pretty important.
Yeah.
And you can do it in so many different ways. Like for mine was golf. You can do it playing table tennis. You can do it playing Smash. Of course you can do it playing any activity that you put any sort of pressure on yourself or impose from outside on you. And just like learning how to deal with it in that scenario will help you to deal with it in other scenarios as well in life. It's just a thing like that.
Of course, yeah. Yeah, I think it really comes down to what kind of person you are and where in which situations you find it easier to focus. For me personally, I just try to focus a lot on, for example, when it comes down to Celeste or speedrunning, I just focus on the movement and don't think about anything else, and then I feel myself more in touch with the game and more in the zone. So yeah, that's definitely something really good.
That is so hard to do. That's so hard to be able to do, honestly. Yeah. Like, it's really hard to zone in on not what your time is.
Yeah.
Anything but your time. It's like when you're speedrunning, you know, it's like, oh, you gotta play the game as fast as possible. You gotta beat your previous time. But you can't think about it.
Yeah, the moment you think about it.
It's just like, you know, to be able to put yourself in a position where you can focus on just the movement, or you can like shove that concept of time out of your brain and just focus on the fundamentals and the stuff you need to focus on. It's hard. It's really hard. And it takes, again, it's something that takes a lot of experience to be able to do.
Yeah, absolutely. So we talked about these pressure situations. When I first met you, I talked actually with you. Or no, I didn't talk with you, but someone asked you how you feel pressured. And you said something like, after so many attempts, after so many good runs, you kind of don't get pressured anymore by just a good pace. How true is that?
You get used to it. Yeah. You get used to it. Like, it's, like, I'll bring up Celeste as an example. Like, I've never played a game as technically demanding as Celeste is. Or I've never tried to speedrun a game, I should say, that's more technically demanding than Celeste is. So it took me a very long time to be able to have a run on pace, like up through Summit into 3,000 meters without feeling like crazy nervous. Just because, like, I think another key to it as well is like those mental skills. Like I mentioned the things about like how mental skills carry over from activity to activity. That doesn't really say much for like the actual physical side of it. Like it takes the physical and the mental side. And without practice, both mentally and physically at what you're doing, you know, you're going to feel that pressure and it's going to get to you generally. So like, you just got to get there. You got to have been there before. For me, that was me multiple times, on Summit in Celeste, like back when I first started running, I would get so nervous because like I'm not used to the game yet. You know, I'm not one with the game's mechanics yet. So I'm nervous. I'm trying to I'm trying to gather my mental thoughts as well as my physical, you know, my physical this, my physical that. Mm. as I'm playing, and that just, you know, so basically, yeah, like, you just got to be there. You got to get there multiple times to sort of, like, fulfill both the mental and the physical aspect of being there, and then you can overcome that pressure, for sure.
Yeah, I think that's very true. Every time I have a good run and getting into Summit, which is the last part of Celeste, I'm always getting nervous and feel sort of uncomfortable because, you know, these situations, they don't have happened that often to you. And it's like really, the quote, you have to learn from your mistakes, really come into play, because you will fail at later parts of your run. But once you fail it, the next time it feels a lot easier already. So
one good thing about Celeste is that it lends itself really well to an atmosphere of no reset runs as well.
So it's that's not like so true.
It's not a game where, like, if you fail a trick, your run's over, like, by any means at all. So that's why, like, I feel like I can attribute like my successes with Celeste to the fact that I have done so many no reset runs. So, like, my late game is as good or better than my early game.
Yeah.
And I know how to deal with the late game when the pressure's on because of that. Or at least a lot better than I would have if I had, you know, spent a bunch of time resetting on, like, on chapters 1 and 2.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, trying to get, like, a sub 320, like, chapter 2 or whatever. It's like, even if I have, like, a 325 or even, like, a 330 or something, I'm gonna keep going most of the time. Again, there's a time and a place for doing resets. Like, don't get me wrong. There's a time and a place for it, but, like, I think by resetting over and over, you aren't doing yourself any favors as far as improving yourself. And I've always been a huge advocate of improving yourself over improving your times, because the times come from improving yourself.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. So, like, no reset runs lend themselves well to like that bettering of yourself, and it makes you a better player. You know, it makes you better. It makes your times better as a result.
That's actually so funny that you say that, because I'm always, like, when I stream, I also say to the people in my chat, like, I do more no reset runs because I believe it's better for the overall improvement. And I'm also not that much of a big fan of reset runs. Like, in some games, you definitely have to go for when you, like, miss a certain manip or whatever, or a very specific trick that you can only do once. But in Celeste, yeah, it's definitely very, very easy to just do no resets and still improve on yourself. And that late game practice really comes in handy. Wow, awesome. I didn't know you share the same opinion as I do, because I feel many people in the Celeste community, they feel like resetting is the right way to go, but I always say it isn't, really. I feel like it's not. Like, yeah, sometimes reset runs can really, like, be also beneficial, but overall, I bet more on no reset runs than on reset runs.
Something I totally, like, agree with that.
Yeah. It's also, like, it's more fun, and every time I reset, I feel like I put myself on such a big pressure. And I get way more frustrated every time I make a mistake. And in no reset runs, I just play the game and enjoy it more. And then you automatically can play better.
I feel like, I mean, when you start to optimize a game, when you start to get better at it, and you focus on resetting to get a good start, you're basically telling your mind or your subconscious mind, if I make a mistake, I'm losing time.
Mm.
If I make a mistake, I'm not going to meet my goal or, like, the time for this split or whatever. When in reality, you're probably not losing as much time as your brain thinks you're losing.
Yeah.
You know, like I, for instance, like, I play, when I reset, I get in city and I lose a half a second on one screen, and I feel like my run is, like, screwed because of that. And I feel like, oh man, look, that's one more half second that's, you know, that's going to be added on to my final time at the end of the run. Like, I just get into really bad mental habits when I reset a bunch. I think it depends on how, or for me, it depends on how I feel. If I'm feeling really good, like if my hands are fresh and I'm feeling really good about the way I'm playing, I'll do some reset runs because I feel like I actually really have a chance to like get a really good run with, you know, how I feel.
Mm.
If I'm not feeling good at all, I'll do no reset runs for sure. Like if I'm not feeling like absolute top shape, then I will do no reset runs and focus on the self-improvement rather than like, hey, get a time right now.
Yeah, like I feel like the moment you start to reset a lot, your entire focus shifts from improvement to avoiding mistakes, which mm-hmm. like can be good and bad. But the moment you focus too much on mistakes, they will get you at a certain time, and it can be very mentally stressing for some people. Great. One thing that also fits in that topic is one problem I do have. When I have good runs or like just average runs, like how do I avoid focusing too much on mistakes? Because that is something like on some days it is actually fine and I can just keep playing even though I make some mistakes. But on other days when I make a mistake, my entire mind focused way too much on it and I will screw up my entire gameplay and everything will go very, very downhill from there. And it's very hard to recover from that. So I don't know if you have experienced it, but let's talk about that.
It can be hard, yeah. Especially like, I think that ties in a lot with like focusing on time, which is like, it's something that it's crazy because time is so inherent to it's so like correlated with speedrunning itself that like we can't help but think about it. And I think focusing on the time itself is what's the word I'm looking for? It's counterintuitive. And like if you look at your mistakes and say, okay, I lost this much time here with that mistake. And like your brain, like, I don't know, if you're like me, your brain will go over that mistake like over and over in your head and try to calculate how much time you lost exactly. And it's like, why are you doing that? Why do you feel the need to do that?
Mm.
Like, you're not doing yourself any favors. And of course, this is me, like, you know, in retrospect, telling myself that, like, you idiot, what are you doing? But like, it's not good, but it's such an easy habit to get into. And I think that's why we tend to focus on mistakes more. But if you look at your mistakes in a more neutral light, instead of like, you know, focusing on like how much you're losing or, oh, why did I do that? I'm an idiot or I'm bad or whatever. It's like, you can look at that mistake and say like, okay, so what exactly happened there? And like, this is, I'm talking like after the chapter, you can look back at a mistake and say like, okay, what happened there? And you can either go back and practice that same strat or screen or whatever, or you can be like even more analytical about it and just like say, okay, what exactly went wrong?
Mm.
Like, and do your best to improve it and like kind of sand out the, you know, the mistake from what you're doing. But yeah, so basically like it's really hard not to focus on mistakes. So like, I'm honestly not even gonna like say that focusing on mistakes is like something that you shouldn't do because it's almost impossible not to as a speedrunner who's been speedrunning for a long time. But, what I will say to try to do is to try to think about it in a more neutral mindset and see like look at it in that sort of like outsider's perspective and say like, okay, what happened there, what can I do to fix it, and what can I do so that it doesn't happen in the future. Just stuff like that, you know. It's like, just it's the way you think about it. It's not thinking about it itself, it's the way you think about it.
Yeah, okay. I also think like maybe during a good run focusing on mistakes can't really be that good, or is like never really good. But looking afterwards after a run over your mistakes can be very beneficial because you ease out your mistake spots and you slowly improve more onto yourself. But like, it's so difficult or literally impossible, as you said, to not focus during the run on mistakes. It's like you just have to look at it on a neutral perspective, but that takes, as everything, a lot of practice, I believe. And you have also to accept that on some days it can be doable, but on others it's like impossible and whatever. It just happens, I believe.
Yeah, like I'm not even gonna sit here and say like that's one of my strengths as a speedrunner. Like I like to dwell on mistakes as a runner. Mm. I mean, well, I don't like to, but like I
you just do it.
It's just an expression, but yeah, I do. It's one of my bad habits as a speedrunner. Honestly, it's probably, I would say it's one of the weakest, if not the weakest part of like my speedrunning attributes. I don't know what the word is for that, but it's something that I'm working on and that I probably will forever be working on. So
yeah, I mean, it's a learning experience throughout the entire like speedrun progress. So when you spot a mistake and like, I don't know, I don't have a good example, but you said something when you see a mistake, you can also practice it afterwards, but it's something difficult to really nail down, because like mistakes happen in rooms where you have been 100% accuracy and always have done it correctly, but mm-hmm. sometimes it doesn't work. So like how to get really better at it is like, I don't know how to really find an answer to that. Is it just like a fact of speedrunning that sometimes things go wrong no matter how well you practice it?
Yeah, I mean, pretty much. Like, you know, we're only human.
Mm.
After all, we're human. We're not robots. We're not tool-assisted speedruns. we're going to make mistakes. And sometimes those mistakes, at least to the naked eye, are not really definable. Because, you know, like, I'll use Celeste as an example again. Like, when Madeline is traveling at a ridiculously fast speed, it's hard to see which pixel she's occupying on any given frame. You know, it's like, so you can say like, oh, I was too low there. I'll give you an example. This is on a smaller sort of scale, but like with Demo Dash, sometimes I fail the Demo Dash in Resort.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not exactly sure whether I was too low or too high, because whether it be like my eyes like fluttered as I did it, or I just plain couldn't identify the pixel she was on, or whatever. Those kinds of things just kind of happen, you know.
Yeah.
And that's why speedrunning is what it is. You know, we're not gonna get those things 100% of the time. Like it's not possible, simply not possible. But yeah, so just to, again, to think about it with that, like it goes back to that neutral mindset thing. You know, like when you look at yourself as a speedrunner, you know, you need to see yourself honestly as a human speedrunning a game and not anything other than that, honestly.
Yeah.
And I think like looking at it like that is important.
Yeah, it sounds so difficult, since like the goal of speedrunning is to play as perfect as possible, but playing as perfect as possible is like something that happens only one in 10,000 attempts or whatever.
Yeah.
It's like, it's something like, that's why speedrunning is so difficult as a hobby. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, many people don't really see the effort behind speedrunning, because most of it happens like off screen or off stream when you practice the things. But yeah. So speaking of practice, like how really do you practice? Do you just sit down and play a certain section over and over? Or yeah, because when go ahead.
Okay, it depends on what I'm like struggling with or like how I'm feeling about a certain thing.
Mm.
Like I'll use Link's Awakening as an example. So it's a game I've been speedrunning since it came out, or the remake. Since it came out like about 3 or so weeks ago, 2.5 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
And,
yeah.
Like there's still a lot of things in like in my game that I want to iron out, because I just haven't like, really had the time to, like certain boss fights, certain mini boss fights, like movements throughout dungeons, equips, stuff like that, like menuing. just like there's a lot of stuff that I need to go over and I need to improve. So I'll like go through a VOD of mine. Like I'll go through my TV and I'll say like, okay, yeah, I have trouble with this. I'm still having trouble with this. I'm going to go and I'm going to work on this. I might develop some muscle memory for this. Or if like I'm having trouble, and I know we don't really deal with this in Celeste at all, thankfully, but if I'm having trouble like reacting to a certain RNG pattern in a room or like enemy movement RNG, I'll go deal with that. And I'll go sit in that room for a good hour, 2 hours, and just like research that room.
Mm-hmm.
And like look at, you know, like I might enter the room a different way to see if that's somewhat easier. And just like knowing exactly what an enemy, or knowing at least having a good idea of what an enemy is going to do when it, for instance, like turns a certain way or does a certain thing when you enter a room is really, really important. And that's something that like you need to know, you know, that's like part of game knowledge. And you can like just kind of iron that into your brain as you go, just working on strats. And it just like it's all about game knowledge and just like, I know I kind of strayed off topic a little bit because we were talking about practice, but like knowledge also plays a huge part in it.
Mm.
And you really, there are certain cases where you only get knowledge through practicing. And like that's what I've been working on recently as well. Like especially like coming from a game like Celeste to Link's Awakening, I kind of forgot that RNG exists in a way. I kind of forgot how to deal with it. So I'm trying my best to readjust myself to that.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's getting there though. It's getting there because I've been practicing the things that I'm weak with.
Okay, so you would say it's more of a like natural, oh, look over my time, what has been good or what can be done better, and yep. Then just sitting down and practicing these things and hope that they work out in the run the way they should do. Yeah, that's like, I don't know, how to practice is such a difficult question to answer. Like, yeah. Also how to optimize yourself. Like,
and like everybody has different practice routines and regimens, like, and that's completely normal, you know, like as speedrunners, like, you know, hone their skills more and more, like they, and as they speedrun more and more, like they learn a practice method that's right for them.
Mm, yeah.
I'm not saying that anything I do is going to be right for anything you do, for instance. But I will say that like getting to know yourself as a speedrunner and knowing how to practice yourself and what you should be doing when you practice, what you should be thinking about, what you should be focusing on is very important for your improvement as a runner of that game.
Yeah. I personally have such a hard time when I practice. I sometimes get so upset about myself not being able to fix that mistake. And that's, I believe, something that holds me back personally as well. But yeah. And also one other thing I did back in the day when I was grinding more Celeste than I'd currently do is I just simply sit down into a specific chapter or section of the game. And I play it over and over just to make my average time faster, to get more used to it. I think that's like, and you invest multiple hours to just be like, I don't know, 5 to 10 seconds faster on average. But that's like really what it is, I feel like. But I also feel like it's somewhat inconsistent. I don't know, that's why I'm asking, like, is it really just grinding so much for so little time? Because it feels like so unrewarding when you're at a certain level. Like in the beginning, you do something, practice it 10 minutes, and you save multiple minutes in the run consistently. And later down, when you're more improved, you practice something for 2 hours to save 1 second or two in an extreme fashion. But that's like, that's how unrewarding speedrunning feels on a higher level. I don't know how you deal with that.
It can, yeah. It definitely, like, I mean, there's a certain, like, there's a certain glass ceiling that can be reached, but like no one will ever reach, if that makes sense. It's like limits in math. If you're a mathematician, you know what limits are. It's like that, except it's with speedrunning.
Yeah.
It's definitely like, and like I've been playing less and less Celeste lately. Like I honestly can't remember the last time I tried to PB at any percent, just because like, I mean, it's, I was trying for a 20, for the 2720s, mark. And I still think I can do it, but I just haven't really tried because it hasn't been as fun lately, to do. So I play for consistency now, and I'm in the, like, I'm in the GSA league, and I played at Pace, earlier this year, and I'm playing in this season of GSA, and I'm really just trying to focus on like averages.
Yeah.
You know, like focus on consistency. Like that, if you like, that's where I take pride in my speedrunning right now with Celeste, is the consistency factor. And just like trying to like, and I think it shows, honestly. Like if you look at stats, like I do have, I think, the best average right now in the league.
Mm.
Because that's what I focus on.
Yeah.
You know, like that's my forte, honestly. It's just like consistency. And averages. So it's like my best and my worst times throughout. I think the 10 matches I've played, or the 9 matches I've played, are within almost 30 seconds of each other.
Yeah, that's kind of crazy, actually.
Yeah, so just like I play and I build a game plan around being consistent.
Mm-hmm.
With Celeste. With Link's Awakening, I'm actually taking a slightly different approach because I can. basically, because I can and it's fun. But yeah. So wait, the original question was, I feel like I'm straying off topic again.
It's all fine. We have some great talking.
The original question was about like, oh yeah, I talked about like the glass ceiling. Yeah, so like I think I actually kind of went full circle talking about like consistency. One thing I used to do, and I don't really do it anymore, although I probably should, is I would take a spreadsheet. I'd take like a Google Doc or something, Google spreadsheet, and I would play a chapter with, say it's chapter 5. Back when 5A was run, that's how long ago this was. So back when 5A was like considered faster than 5B. So I would do 5A 10 straight times, just legit sit down and run it 10 straight times. I would record all my results of the chapter, my deaths, where they were, everything, the time, final time, all on the spreadsheet. And I would calculate the average. Look at the high points, the low points, and just like that really helps me to, or it helped me. Honestly, I'm better at it now just doing it in my head, which is probably why I don't do it anymore. But like, it really helped me to, it really told me where I can improve, where my mistakes were, and where I was good, where I was bad. I think, and that's really important, just like sand that out, you know, like make it even.
Yeah, that's exactly what I did too. Not too long ago when I was trying to get a sub 33, I was doing literally the same with chapter 4, just sitting down and looking, okay, where are my good points, where are my bad points, what I can improve on. Yeah, that's something like, I believe, like having a game plan around what you want to improve at is like really helpful, and just focusing on one thing at a time can be really helpful. So I think that might be it. We are around 30 minutes now, so we may hop over to like chat questions. If there's someone in chat who wants to ask something to TGH, then go ahead. But I have already a Twitter question from FC Racer for you. He asked you, have you ever felt that you've hit a plateau with a category or a game? If so, what have you done to get past that mental block?
Oh god, I kind of lost count of how many times I thought I plateaued in Celeste, to be honest with you. And I think I would say like there were a solid somewhere between like 5 and 7 times where I thought I was never going to improve again this list. Just like playing it, trying to practice. I felt like I hit my peak. No pun intended. But so I think like, and obviously like I was able to get around all of those instances. And I think one common theme for those was I just kind of relaxed a little bit. Like I just like I you know, I pulled back on the reins a bit. I started like I might like take like a day or two break because like no, you know me, I can't take breaks longer than a few days apparently.
Okay.
I just get driven back to it. But basically it's like I just kind of didn't, I just tried my best not to focus on the time. I just tried my best to have fun with movement, to like do stuff other than speedrun the game. Like I would play the game, I might do like custom maps or something. And like I guess the main thing I'm trying to say is just like try your best to relax. And the reason I say try your best is because I'm not going to sit here and say you need to relax, because that doesn't work like that. You know, it's like you need to like get yourself to relax. Let's turn my water off, sorry. Like you need to get yourself to relax, really, like by doing things for fun, really. You know, it's like sometimes it just doesn't, it's just not fun anymore, and you need to make it fun again.
Yeah, that's like really important. Like even when you start with speedrunning, the fun should be like the main priority at all time, pretty much. So yeah, so just having a break is like the thing you do, and then return to it back, and then you see how much you actually can do with the game.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, good. So we have another question from Malix here. Do you think having a negative attitude towards your own skill / performance is a disadvantage in speedrunning, or could it help to push you get better? Quick story here to Malix. Like, he is one of these people who always thinks that they are bad and and calls them downs, technically.
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely a disadvantage. You know, like it's all about like you need to have a good mix of and again the best mix is different for everybody, but you need to have a good mix of confidence and awareness toward yourself. So like it's not good to be overconfident, because then you will never learn from your mistakes. Hell, you'll never think you'll make mistakes if you're overconfident. But like, you also need to know what you're capable of and know that you will achieve it if you work hard enough to do it. Like, honestly, like, it's sometimes it's really hard to be confident. I get that. I understand. Like, I've been the person who's extremely hard on himself. I've been the person who's negative, who's, you know, woe is me, who will like seemingly stop at nothing to like to down themselves during runs and between runs. Mm-hmm. Like I completely understand that. I completely understand that mentality, but just know that as somebody who's been there, there's definitely like there are things you can do to get better at it. There are things you can do to switch your mentality, to adjust your mentality. And like, best of luck, honestly. It's hard, but you know,
I see.
You'll get there for sure.
Okay, so working on getting out of it. But yeah, I definitely understand this, like coming from depression, something like this, hard to deal with it is so insanely difficult. A question from Railvoy, but Malix copied and pasted it. It was asked earlier. Do you think in-game timer plays a big role, seeing it permanently? I really do not understand this question, but maybe you do.
It can. I think they're referring to the in-game time that's like constantly displayed in the top left, and on Celeste. Like I find myself peeking at the timer sometimes.
I understand the question.
I'd get to a certain screen, and I'd say like, ooh, like. I'm here at this time. This is the best pace I've ever been on in this IL, or even full game. Like, I think for me, it's honestly less of a problem with full game, more of a problem with ILs, because I frankly don't have a good like reference for certain screens for full game times. Like, it's honestly the only reason. It's not a very good reason, but it's the only reason. But it can be distracting.
Yeah.
And it's a distraction just like anything else can distract you, honestly. It's a distraction that makes you think about something other than what your objective is, which is to play and move as cleanly as possible through the game. Like, as a speedrunner, that's your objective. And to know, like, to think about numbers or times at all is almost certainly detrimental.
Yeah.
Towards what you're doing. So, yeah, I do think it's, I do think it plays a big role. I think that there are ways you can teach yourself to ignore it. I remember Flattervy, he actually used to put like a post-it note over the timer on the top left.
I did this too sometimes.
Yeah. So like, honestly, like that's perfectly valid. Like you can do that. You should do that if you feel like it's going to help you. Personally, I don't do it because it feels weird having part of my upper left-hand corner of my screen cut off. But
it actually does.
But that's just me. Like, I've actually tried it before, and I don't like doing it personally. But just honestly, like, hyper focus on the movement. In a game like Celeste, where everything else is consistent, there's no RNG. I would say like hyper focusing on like Madeline herself as she moves is an okay thing to do, as long as you know the rooms really well, which anybody who's been running for a long time should.
Yeah.
It's less. So like, yeah, like when I find myself getting distracted by things like time and other things, anything that distracts you, I just try my best to focus on Madeline and say to myself, like, Madeline is the only thing that exists right now. Like, focus on her.
Like, that's exactly what I do too.
Yeah.
Oh, it helps me out a lot. Another question. How important is the health and growth of a community around a potential speed game when it comes to determining whether or not you want to speedrun something?
I think this is different for everybody, because people speedrun games for different reasons. Some people speedrun for competition, some for self-improvement, some for the community. But for those who are like really community-based and love that community aspect, like, yeah, it's hugely important. You know, like, it's actually like all important for those people, because that's why they're there. It's just like games with like clicky or sort of like almost elitist communities, they will almost certainly always tend to like shove away anybody trying to learn the game, which is not good for a growing community, as you might imagine. But honestly, like, most of the communities I've been in have been really, really welcoming.
Yeah.
And just like, you know, it's just good to be a part of that community, just in general. Others not so much. I mean, I won't like pick and choose and point fingers and say which ones are what, but I will say, like, yeah, it's definitely one of the most important things.
Okay, Marib asks, "Hi Teach, how do you personally balance speedrunning and other components of your life between exercises, school, social activities, school, and getting enough sleep? Finding the time to seriously commit to improving at one speed game feels ridiculous." Like, we talked about earlier that. We talked a little bit about that.
Funny, I actually don't know what any of those other things are. I'm just kidding. honestly, like, yeah, it's hard. Like, especially if you, like, in my position is probably a little bit different from other people's, because I do this as, like, basically a full-time job. So, like, I'm speedrunning for basically 8 hours a day, but for the other, say 8 hours I'm awake, I'm doing other things. I'm working on my stream. I'm working on other things like related to my stream. I'm on social media. I'm practicing. I'm actually most of the time practicing. but yeah, so it's basically like, I admittedly probably don't get as much exercise as I probably should anymore, but I can work to change that as well. I can work to sacrifice something to change that. But yeah, so getting enough sleep is also a good one as well. Like I've graduated from school. Social activity, like I honestly don't do much personal social activity with people like outside of GDQs and stuff, but that's okay. You know, mostly as an online person, like it's social enough. Honestly, like I'm social enough streaming. So you know, but yeah, sorry if that wasn't like an actual legitimate answer to your question, but I'm probably not the best person to ask that, to be completely fair.
Yo, okay, last question. I think that's like somewhat of a question. Also, speedrunning can feel kind of a boys club culture, at least to me. The Celeste speedrun community seems better than most, but I've still been a little afraid of engaging with the larger Celeste community outside my small pocket of friends. Have you any thoughts on that?
If I could have some clarification, by boys club culture, do you mean like actual like male dominant, or do you mean like like cliquey almost? Like I'm asking this directly to Marie Bo Peep. Yeah, basically what Amber said. Basically, that's me in a nutshell.
Yeah, we're just waiting for the response here.
Both? Okay. So, I guess I'll concentrate on the male dominant part first. Yeah, I mean, I definitely see more females playing Celeste than other games. Like in the community, like there's definitely like quite a good female presence, which is good. You know, like honestly, speedrunning is so speedrunning in itself is really, really male dominant. That's why like I'm honestly really happy to see things like Frame Fatales that GDQ is doing in order to give them more of a presence to basically showcase what they do. And it's kind of sad though, because like it's not anybody's fault that it's like this, I think, but it's just there are so many more guys and girls in the community who speedrun, and unfortunately just because of that the demographics are a little bit skewed. So like I don't know, like I think maybe part of the culture kind of turns them away, kind of turns females away, but it's honestly like I don't know, I'm probably not well enough informed to answer this question, but yeah, so by boys club culture you also might mean like a cliquey sort of atmosphere. I agree that the Celeste community is better than most, especially for how big it is. The Celeste community is huge. It's massive. And like proportionately, that activity is very, very low on the scale for like in the Celeste community. But yeah, so like, I mean, I see it here and there a little bit. And I've never really tried to involve myself in it because I know that I don't want to do that personally. But I don't really want to be involved in that. But you know, it is what it is. Like groups of friends will develop, and they might branch off.
Yeah.
Like, I guess it's normal. You know, it's a normal thing. As long as it doesn't become toxic, which I have seen, but it's not as bad as it could be. You know what I mean?
I actually feel like it could always go worse.
Yeah.
Pretty much. Being good or bad. But yeah. I also, like, obviously Celeste has some groups of friends that branched off from the main community, I feel like.
Yeah.
But it is so natural as human beings that this happens, like, in any part of the world. So we shouldn't really look at it and talk it down. We should just accept the fact.
Exactly. And I mean, like, if I could make a side point, actually, like, people, like, honestly, it's just a thing in the speedrun community. Like, people, and I was actually talking about this with somebody the other day, at GDQs, for instance. Like, I've been to every GDQ except for the first GDQX at TwitchCon since AGDQ 2017, and like, people always tell me I don't like GDQs because it's too clicky, or there are too many groups of people that only stick to each other. And it's like, okay, but can you really blame them? It's like, there are so many people there that you're gonna wanna have a group of friends. you know, so it's just like I question that mentality. I also understand that mentality, but I also question it to a degree, because, like, I don't know what you're expecting. You know, like, it's going to happen like that. There are going to be groups of people that group together and just kind of go about things their own way. I think it's worth noting, though, that some of those groups may be quite exclusive. They could also be inclusive. You know, you never know until you, like, go up and talk to somebody in that group or whatever. But yeah, so just try your best, I guess, to find the inclusive groups. And this goes for speedrunning communities in general as well, like online or in Discords or whatever. Like, try your best to find the inclusive folks as opposed to the exclusive folks, because the exclusive folks are generally bad news.
Yeah.
So
just find people who you feel comfortable around with, and the group will grow automatically, and you can still have an amazing time with them. Like,
yeah, exactly.
But
exactly. But
there will be times where you have to, or you will reach out to the entire community as a whole. Like, I don't know, when you ask for something new, then there are discussions in the Discords and whatnot. So yeah, you have your groups of friends that will stick around with you the most part. But you will also, like, sometimes interact with larger portions of the community. I think that's quite normal.
Yeah, like, so I guess, like, bottom line for me is two things, if I can remember, because I have them on the tip of my tongue. One is to find the right people, and two is to be open to other groups of people. Like, that's it, honestly. Like, just, like, finding a group of people that will accept you in communities is honestly way more important than I think a lot of people realize.
Yeah. I mean, I have a lot of fun with the friends I've met through Celeste, and it definitely can be very helpful. But I think, yeah, that's a good way to finish it up here. Thanks, Teach, for having you here. And
yeah, no problem, no problem.
That was the first episode, I guess. So see y'all soon.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Bye. Okay, now the official part of the stream is over. Yo, thank you for listening to my podcast. This was the first episode. I really hope you enjoyed it. We are still improving and trying to figure out how all of this works. So give me some time and to figure out how podcasting actually works. But I really do hope that you like that one. And make sure you give this podcast a follow, because we're trying to make weekly episodes with all different kinds of runners. Yeah, have a good day and improve your speedrunning.